So today I'll continue with the series that I was working on here since a few months. When I was away for a month, so got kind of paused. But the series is on the five hindrances, which is one of the classical Buddhist teachings. These are five hindrances or five difficulties that we might encounter in our meditation or even in our daily life. And the hindrances are sensual desire, ill will, sloth, and torpor is the third one together, so it's a pair. And then the fourth one is also a pair, restlessness and worry. And then the fifth one is doubt. And so today we're talking about restlessness and worry, so the fourth hindrance. And so the Pali words are udaccha and kukuccha. You don't really have to remember that. And those two terms, according to the Wikipedia article about it, each of them has their own Wikipedia article. But the two together is, they say, the inability to calm the mind and focus one's energy. And so they are kind of different, though. They have a different flavor each. So we want to look at both of them. And so in there are these texts that are a little older than the Buddha's words, so to speak, the scriptures. One is called the Visuddhimagga, and this text talks about the first one. So what we would translate as restlessness talks about it like this. It has mental excitement as characteristic, like wind-tossed water, wavering as function, like a flag waving in the wind, whirling as manifestation, like scattered ashes struck by a stone. Unsystematic thought owing to mental excitement as proximate cause. And it should be regarded as mental distraction over an object of excitement. So that is the restlessness. And then the worry, there's the same author with a different book, but the worry is, it has repentance as characteristic, sorrow at deeds of commission and omission as function, regret as manifestation, deeds of commission and omission as proximate cause, and it should be regarded as a state of bondage. Yeah, so this other part, the worry part, is often also translated as remorse. And so here they're also naming the regret part, the regret, remorse part of this characteristic. And so I'll talk first a little bit about the restlessness aspect of this hindrance that we can come across in meditation. Like it said in that quote, it's like a flag in the wind, or like wind-tossed water. Like it's kind of this agitated state of mind. Where we're not calm, we're not focused, and it seems really hard to focus, kind of all over the place with our mind. And maybe we can recognize this also in our daily lives, like this constant distraction that we have, like wanting to grab our phone every moment that we feel a little bit uneasy, or that we have to wait for a little bit. Nowadays, we seem to be even more uncomfortable with restlessness than maybe, I don't know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Like, it seems to become even more unpleasant now that we're always kind of giving into it. And so when we're meditating, it can sometimes feel like we're not able to sit still. We're just super distracted with the mind. So it can have this bodily quality of not being able to sit still, and this mental quality of being super distracted. And it can be, you know, a little different than just a normal distraction that we all encounter in our meditation. a little even more than the normal distraction. And maybe you're someone who, you know, if you're waiting in a waiting room, that you're like, you moving your foot like that, you know, or you see other people sometimes do that, right? It can be kind of a form of restlessness. And then the worry part, like I said, also sometimes translated as remorse or regret, can express as this, you know, mental activity in the form of this worrying about the future or this ruminating or regretting the past. And so one of the things that is interesting is that the Buddha advises us to do wholesome and virtuous behavior so that we don't have to regret anything. And then he calls that the bliss of blamelessness. Because this regret can be a major source of restlessness in our lives and in our meditation. And once we start meditating, these regrets can arise, like things that we've done in the past that were not so wholesome, that might have hurt others or ourselves, that we really regret. And then we start to notice how beneficial it is to act wholesome in a wholesome way, so that we don't have to regret anything. Like the Buddha said, this bliss of blamelessness, we only experience that as a bliss when we realize how, you know, not pleasant it is to regret something, to, you know, blame ourselves for something. And so, with all the other hindrances I've talked about so far, I went over these five areas that we can explore the hindrance. And so I also go over these five with this hindrance. So the Buddha says that the first thing we can do is to look at the hindrance itself. So it's kind of obvious, maybe. But we can recognize the hindrance has come up. Oh, right, there's restlessness, there's like not being able to sit still, or there's this worry about the future, or this ruminating about the past going on. We can recognize that. And we can recognize the bodily aspect of it. So maybe the agitation in the body, the kind of feeling like you want to jump up and down, or that kind of thing. We can also recognize, you know, what kind of mind aspects are there, maybe certain thought patterns, or certain agitation of the mind that we can recognize. Like this scattered thinking can happen. And when we worry, these thought patterns that arise around future or past. And so that's the first step, just to recognize this, recognize the body and mind aspects of it. And then the second step that the Buddha says is also recognize when it's not there. That can be really beneficial too, like, oh yay, I'm not restless. We're really like delighting in the absence of the hindrances can be really beneficial for our practice. Because we tend to notice all the things that don't go right, you know, the things that go wrong. But the Buddha says, oh, also notice when it goes, you know, the way you actually want it to go and delight in that. And so sometimes maybe we in daily life when we are waiting in line somewhere and we don't feel restless and we don't like want to grab our phone right away, maybe we can notice that moment too. That could be really, really cool to like, oh wait, maybe I can just stand here for a moment instead of doing something else. And sometimes, you know, you can challenge yourself maybe a little bit, just sit down somewhere and do nothing for just 5 minutes, just stare out the window or something, you know, just, you know, with your cup of tea, just sit there. And then see if there's any impulse for grabbing your phone or for turning on the TV or for getting up and, you know, do that chore that's still there, you know, from 2 weeks ago. So it can be really interesting. And then when you've practiced that a little bit, maybe you can also do that when you're, you know, on the bus or when you're waiting in line somewhere or whatever it is. So you know, when I'm somewhere where I have to wait, like when I'm in public transport or when I'm in line somewhere or whatever, I'm often like the only person that's not using their phone. It's pretty crazy. So maybe we all start to do that, maybe we maybe I'll see some other people without their phone. And so that's the second aspect, to see when it's not there, and maybe we can train ourselves in that too, because as you know, when we give into it, we also strengthen that restlessness. So if we train ourselves not to give into it, it might not arise as much anymore. And so the third point is to look at, like, how does it arise? What causes it? What causes and conditions lead to the arising of the restlessness or the worry? And so for restlessness, one obvious one is all these distractions we have in our daily life and giving into it. One other aspect of restlessness, or the arising of restlessness, can be that if our desire does not get fulfilled, if there's a certain desire that we have and it doesn't get fulfilled, we'll also experience restlessness, like just kind of this wanting, moving energy. And so like I think the last time I walked in here, I went over to the thermostat because it was really, you know, kind of a little chilly in here. So I walked over, it's over there, and it didn't work. And I was like, you know, getting a little agitated and kind of like this desire for, you know, the warmth and the thermostat to work. And so I could really, really feel that. And then I found out you could turn this thing on too. So there was warmth. But it took me a little bit, like, oh, you know, this restlessness of the desire not being fulfilled, for the warmth to be turned on. It's a bit of a silly example, of course, but our day is kind of filled with all these moments of that we want something and it doesn't happen the way we want it. And then a little bit of restlessness might arise. And then aversion might have a restless component too. Aversion towards some unpleasantness that has arisen in your meditation, like if there's maybe a little bit of pain, like you know, if it's a intense pain, you can always move, of course, but if it's just a tiny little bit of pain, there can be a little restlessness around that, like, oh, it's unpleasant. And then, so that's kind of a little bit about the restlessness, the arising of the restlessness, some common ways of it arising, the desire, the aversion that can cause it. And the distractions in our lives that can cause it. And then the worry of the, or the remorse, like I said, it can arise because we did something that, you know, we're not happy with, like some unwholesomeness, something that caused maybe some harm to someone else or to ourselves. That can really help, you know, instigate this worry. And then we can also have these recurring thoughts around the future. You know, things that, you know, maybe something that brings us anxiety or worry, maybe some conversation we had at our workplace, or a test we had to do in school or something like that, or we will have to do in school, you know. All these kind of things can make us worry and, you know, not sure what's going to happen. And then we try to control it by thinking more and becoming restless, and it usually doesn't really help, but that's kind of the automatic response that we might have. And so we can really be curious about what causes this restlessness right now. It can be different for, you know, whenever, you know, for each moment and for each person. And yeah, there can be so many different causes, of course. But it's important for the next step of how it is removed, and also for the fourth step and the fifth step, how to prevent it from arising. Knowing these causes and conditions can really be beneficial And so how is it removed? Like the Buddha uses this language of removing. I don't like it that much because it sounds like we have to get rid of it or something. But the whole point is that we are also learning to be with it. It's not that it needs to go right away because, you know, we can't make that happen. So we can just as well be with it for a while because, yeah, we can just push it away. So the first thing I think is important is to be mindful of it, to be aware, just really sit with it, just really notice it without it needing to change, because that's kind of the thing that happens. We want it to change, we want it to go away. And so this being mindful will also help us to see more clearly what is going on, which can also support that previous step of noticing the causes and conditions that led up to it. And sometimes this just noticing it, just being with it, just sitting with it can be enough, and it will just dissipate out of itself. But other times it might not be enough. And in the case of just kind of restlessness, like not being able to sit still, it can actually help to make an effort to sit still. The body and the mind have an influence on each other. So if we are restless and we kind of are able to keep our bodies still, it might influence the rest of our whole system. So that could be something to try. And sometimes it can be that we didn't get enough exercise, for example, or not enough movement that day, and then and that might be the reason. And then we should probably move a little bit and start, you know, go for a walk or go do some exercise or something. You can really see that in animals. Like our cat is having a wound right now, and he needs to stay inside with his cone on and stuff. So he really gets, you know, the zoomies every once in a while because he doesn't get enough exercise at the moment. So you can really see how the restlessness is building up, and then he just starts running around the house and attacking the houseplants and stuff. And then at some point he calms down again and restlessness is gone. And so that one book that I was talking about, that is from a later time, but it's also like from the 5th century. One quote that I read was from that. And another quote, what they're saying about the restlessness is, they call it agitation. The translation there is agitation. So this agitation or restlessness and worry are abandoned through devotion to peaceful things that cause no remorse. So, you know, it might be different for each of us, but are peaceful things that are not causing any remorse. And maybe that's the metta practice, the loving kindness practice. That could be something that we could direct our attention to, which is kind of phrases that we say, like, may I be happy or may you be happy, kind of these wishes that we have for ourselves and others. That's the loving kindness practice. Or we could be reflecting on all the things we did do right, all the things that were wholesome that we did, our good, you know, wholesome virtue, or sila, called in Pali. Like maybe you were helping a friend with some chores, or you were listening to someone who was in distress. You were really there for someone. Or you were caring for your sick pet, like I was over the past few weeks, or still have. You know, it's these good things that we all do on a daily basis, probably. And then, if we're not meditating, then we could even do something wholesome. So maybe you send a message to someone that would appreciate hearing from you. Or, you know, calling someone who's maybe, you know, is lonely, or helping someone in any way. It could be, you know, anything wholesome, even caring for yourself. Go take a nice bath or something like that, you know. And then so this step was about the removing, quote unquote removing. And then, so at some point, the restlessness or the worry might dissolve, and then we can delight in that, like I said, and we can be happy, like, oh, yay, it's gone. And so each of these, I did that for the other ones, I forgot for this one. Each of these hindrances has this this image in the suttas. And I forgot the image for, if the restlessness, oh, I do know, if the restlessness is present, then the image that the Buddha uses is that of a bowl of water, and you're trying to look, I don't think they had mirrors back in the day, so you're trying to look at your own reflection in the water, but there's this wind that is causing the water to ripple, so you can't really see your reflection, so there's no clear seeing possible. And then he also has this image for when you're free of restlessness and worry. And here the Buddha says, when one sees that restlessness and worry have been abandoned within oneself, one regards this as freedom from slavery. When he sees that this hindrance has been abandoned within oneself, gladness arises. Yeah, so it's a pretty strong simile, I think, here for this restlessness. It's kind of just holding us in this bondage, if we're restless, this real strong image. So that's the fourth point for the removal, quote unquote, removal of restlessness. And then the fifth point that the Buddha mentioned is how to prevent it from arising again. And so, you know, it's not that we'll always be able to prevent it from arising, but in some cases we might be able to, especially if we start to know what causes and conditions led up to its arising. And so the better that we know these causes and conditions, and the more skilled we might become in this prevention, because we start to learn, like, oh wait, these causes and conditions are present now, so let's pay extra attention, and let's not fall into the same trap. It's, if I use the example of our phone again, like, when we are in line somewhere, or we are, you know, in the bus or something, then, you know, we know, oh, this is a moment where I start to become restless, and I'm going to grab my phone in a moment if I don't pay attention now. So really up the mindfulness and really notice, like, oh wait, yeah, let me not do that right now. Like, the more we start to see these patterns, the more, and there might be a little bit of space where we actually have a choice. And so that's more about the restlessness and about the worry or the remorse. Like, if we think about, if we know we have this pattern that we really worry about the future, about certain things, maybe at our job or at school, or that we really, like, have these thoughts about the past, about something happening, and we just keep on talking, if we keep on thinking about it because it was such an awful experience, for example, then when we, at the first onset of these kind of thoughts, we notice them when we're mindful, and we decide not to go with it. We decide, okay, I'm not going there right now, I'm just gonna pay attention to my breath. So this is really what mindfulness practice can help us do, to see that moment and then have a little bit of space, so we might be able to, you know, at some point make a different choice. This is kind of a, you know, really, progressive path. How do you say that? It's not something we can do just, you know, right now. If we haven't trained, it's kind of a training that we're in. And so these five ways of working with restlessness and worry and all the other hindrances is to notice the hindrance in their body and mind, and to notice when it's not there, and to start investigating, oh, how did it actually arise? What causes and conditions were there? And how do we, quote unquote, remove it? And then how do we prevent it from arising? And so I want to end with a quote from the teacher Gil Fronsdal. He says, "We live in a restless age. While we might be overcoming restlessness for our own benefit, it is also helpful to the people around us. Hopefully we can all support each other in being nourished by a heart deeply at rest in itself."